This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sees me through when you're good to mama. Mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you because you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, I have to pick myself up. Stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up, stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I am Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or even introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow families in all its shapes and sizes. So as I know, you're sitting out there saying, Michelle, tell us what's on the show tonight. I can hear you. I'm joined tonight by two ladies that have been together for about 2.5 years. They've had to hide in the closet at times, keep their relationship from their families, but eventually break through that social and religious barrier to live an open and an honest relationship. So I'm wondering if they are going to give us any shocking stories tonight, whether they're going to make us laugh or cry. So I'm going to put them out of their misery now and they'll be able to speak because they've been sworn to silence. So welcome tonight to Stand Up Straight, Jessie and Amanda.
Hey, Melbourne.
Hey. Well, you've been on radio before, have you, Jessie?
No, I haven't.
No, that's, hello, Melbourne. That's well done, you. So one of the reasons that I, as I said early on Chris and Cam's show, I haven't had as many lesbians in the studio, and I don't think we have as much conversation on Joy, and I think it's time that we do. So I'd like to get a bit of an idea about your backgrounds a little bit about your relationship. And you know what? I wonder if there's people out there that think, is their relationship any different to me and my husband, or me and my wife, or, you know, two gay guys? Is it all the same? I mean, this is, you're nodding, Jessie. Is that, do you get people actually that ask you that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe you get the more inappropriate questions being
really
a lesbian couple about.
What? Do you mind saying?
No. Like the more, like people who come across, they're not supposedly homophobic or whatever, and you know, they say they support everything, but you definitely get the inappropriate questions about, you know, what you do behind closed doors.
Why is there this fascination then, do you reckon?
I don't know, maybe because they just, you know, they don't know about it, they've never been exposed to it, or it interests them. Difference interests people.
I wonder why though, because I know, and I've said this before, I've done quite a few trans shows, and there seems to be a thread when I speak to any of my guests, and they'll say people are always concerned about the operation question. And I find that straight people that maybe aren't allies, they're always this curious of how different is it, or, you know, why do you reckon there's this, I don't know.
No idea. I just say use your imagination or Google it.
Google it. That's
yeah,
a
Google
great.
It. I'm sure they have. I think it's that difference. People are interested in things that are different. People, you know, might sometimes be frightened. Sometimes they're curious. Mm. I think it's our natural instinct to be interested in things that are different. And, you know, most people probably don't grow up with gay people around them. Yeah, it depends up when you grow up. I mean, I grew up on what I like to refer to sometimes as the Insular Peninsula, but it is starting to change a lot. But, you know, I grew up, I never saw any, what, gay people. I didn't know. I knew I was gay, but I never knew what gay people were until, you know, later on.
But yet we're only 20 years apart. I know for those of you who thought I was so much younger, but we're like about 20 year age difference, and yet I would have thought your age, and Amanda, you're similar age, that that there would have, you would have had gay friends at school. Was there anyone that was ever out at school that you knew? Either of you?
You?
I went to a private school, and where I went, it was, I guess, pretty conservative. Mm. I think there were a few, but no one was, I don't think anyone was ever out.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I came out.
How old were you, Jessie?
I was, I think, 17 at school, but I didn't deliberately come out. It just came out.
It just passing conversation.
Yeah, in passing conversation. No, small school rumours, you know, things happen. And there was one other girl that came to our school in just for a very brief period, and she was what, you know, to everyone else seemed like, you know, typical kind of lesbian. So it was pretty obvious, but she didn't last long at the school because it wasn't, not that people were close-minded, again, it was just that difference.
Yeah.
So that difference stood out, especially in a small school. So not really. I mean, you know.
Do you get that, and again, I don't kind of follow any sort of chronological order, so as the question comes into my mind, I ask it. Do you get, do people, this may come out wrong, I don't mean it to be offensive or anything like that, but do you get people that will say, oh, you don't look like a lesbian, or, or yes, you do look, do you? You both nodded really, really quickly. Tell me, what do they say? What do they do?
You get the raised eyebrow, go, really? Oh. You don't look like one.
What's your response usually?
I don't know, really. I just laugh it off.
Yeah. I find that really, really odd sorts of questions. So,
but again, that's the difference. And we tend to, as human beings, we stereotype things. Now, that's not always a good thing, especially if people are feeling, you know, isolated or marginalised, all those kind of things. But it is that natural human instinct to, you know, generalise on things. So if you don't fit into their typical, what they've seen, you know, obviously we're in the modern era, so we see lesbian and gay couples on TV that are much more diverse, let's say. Mm. Whereas, you know, that typical stereotype of the dykey lesbian, you know, for some people that's the first thing they experience. And if they haven't met so-called lipstick lesbians.
I was going to ask you about different sorts of terminology. Yeah. And how would you describe? This is an educational show, so let's get. There'll be lots of people out there that don't know what that means.
I suppose that's easiest way to think is the lesbian that doesn't look like the lesbian. So the you know,
if, do you mean if more generalized, the feminine more, in the appearance,
more feminine appearance,
or,
you know, maybe wears dresses, wears lipstick. I mean, people have called me a lipstick lesbian, and I'm not. I'm quite a tomboy. But compared to what their stereotypical view of what they think a lesbian looks like, to them, you know, I come across as that lipstick kind of lesbian. But
are there any other, just that you can think of off the top of your head, that are, there's different terminologies and descriptions, I suppose, of others?
Oh, God, I try not to think about that.
Do you find it offensive when people use or talk about the lesbian community with in those sorts of ways? Because I know a lot of gay guys don't like certain terminologies either.
I think when it's used in a really derogative sense, then, you know, that's really not cool. But most of the time, I think it's generally,
it's contextual because, I mean, lesbians are quite happy calling each other dykes and things. You know,
yeah,
in
like
context,
a privilege in a sense, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I suppose a similar way, like, you know, black people can call each other certain names that if we said it would come across very differently.
We're going to go for a break in a minute or so, but I just wanted to ask you a quick, do you sort of feel like it's because you are a minority, that it's almost like your job to educate people about, not so much being a lesbian, but or maybe true, or rainbow issues, or do you kind of find that, or are you a go-to person even for others?
I think my friends are really quite supportive, and it tends to come up in conversation amongst many other things. In terms of education, I personally don't actively go out to educate. I think if I'm generally a good person, I help people help people out, then that's just part of who I am, regardless of, you know, how you're identified as or how people see you. I just think if you're a good person.
I think because I've been so lucky, I have not experienced a lot of homophobia. I've been lucky in that sense. So I haven't been as proactive. It's only as I'm getting older, I'm realising it's so important when I see my friends around me who do have trouble. That's made me more proactive. And to be honest, my straight brothers and sisters who are a lot younger than me are way more proactive than I am in supporting gay rights.
Is it but I'm moving on. Yeah. Almost, maybe of you, or they feel it's their duty to do the right thing.
They do. And they see people suffer. And for me, that's the same thing now. I'm getting more proactive now because I've realised I've had it really easy. Whereas Amanda and other people have not had it easy. And that's where I feel like I should stand up.
So we're going to, you've given a really good teaser there, Jessie. So we're going to go for a break and a song, and we're going to come back and talk about the differences in your upbringings and, is that grammatically correct? Probably not. Get to know a little bit more about Amanda and Jessie. You're with Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You are with Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. I'm joined in the studio by two lovely ladies, Amanda and Jessie, and we are having a chat about what it's like to be a lesbian in 2014. Is that dramatic enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we touched on just briefly before we went to the break, and the song by Sasquatch, I love that song. Amanda, I know you have not long been out, so I'm aware that you're not sitting as comfortably in this space maybe as Jessie is, and that there's been issues sort of within your family and culturally perhaps as well. So are you comfortable if we kind of have a bit of a chat about what it was like? So you came out at what age?
I came out in my late 20s, so a couple of years ago.
Is there a reason you waited?
I tested the waters when I was 19, and dropping hints here and there to...
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you test the waters?
Making little jokes or alluding to, you know, being gay, and the reaction, even in a joking sense, was quite negative. So
from family, friends,
from family. Yeah. So for me, that was more of a testing the waters, dropping a few hints. The reaction wasn't what I hoped, so that helped me make my decision that I should keep it a bit more quiet and stay in the closet.
And how does that impact on you? Do you doubt yourself? Do you doubt people around you? I'm just wondering kind of almost a little bit like what the mindset is at that point.
Oh, it definitely makes it hard because, you know, you're very conscious of your family and you love them, you don't want to hurt them. You also fear rejection and being judged by not only your family but your friends as well. So it just made growing up at that time a little bit trickier. You know, you're trying to figure out who you are, who your friends are, your sexuality, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it just made it a little bit trickier and a little bit harder.
Tell me about your upbringing and culturally, and I suppose in a sense because... Jessie's born and bred Aussie, we'd call you, would we? Yeah. And Amanda, how different is yours to Jessie's?
Yeah, a little bit different. I grew up in a typical Asian family with certain cultural expectations and all that kind of stuff. You know, your typical go to school, get good grades, get your A pluses, musical, very academic, go to uni, you know, become a doctor or a lawyer or something, and then obviously get married, have children, and all that kind of usual kind of stereotypical type stuff. But there were definitely certain expectations to meet and certain pressures.
And the Christian side as well.
So as you get older and you're aware of your sexuality, so how do you reconcile what you know your expectation is? You know what your parents, family, extended family, grandparents probably, I'm assuming, all know, or you know what they want. How do you then how do you sit comfortably in your skin knowing that you're fighting one side of your brain and then the other side of the brain is telling you something different? How I'm not trying to make you cry and, you know, fetal position in the corner. I don't mean that, but I'm just wondering, how do you get through that as well?
Yeah, sure. I think for a very, very long period of time, you know, I wanted to please everyone and make sure everyone was happy and all that kind of stuff. I think I got to the point where I realised, you know, this is my life. This is who I am, and I just refuse. I don't want to live telling half truths or having to omit stuff at family gatherings, and I just couldn't envisage the rest of my life being having to make excuses or, you know, half truths and all that. It's just not who I am as a person. I like to be honest and you know, transparent and all that kind of stuff, and surround myself with good people and family. So
I think that's the thing, though. It's not really reconcilable. It's not. Mm. And I see Amanda struggle with that still. With her parents, I'll be honest, have actually grown a lot. They're never going to accept it. They've said that. But we can sit down and have dinner together now and
so
do all those things.
Let's go back before that. So when you how did you meet? Firstly, and then we'll kind of do, which is the better one? Which is great? Which has got the dirt?
No, we can go. So it was a bit of a sliding doors thing actually, because I'd made friends with Tex and Kelly. Call out to you, Kelly, and we'd kept saying we'd sort of catch up. Now, if I'd done any of those catch ups, I would have actually met Amanda. But instead, I went to Pride March about 2.5 years ago. And I don't know if everyone remembers it, but it was that crazy wild wind, kind of like a cyclone coming through. Anyway, and I was feeling a little bit like a crazy wild wind cyclone. And I was definitely in a mood. Anyway, so I randomly hooked up with Tex and Kelly. And then she was with these other people. And anyway, I was in a mood, so I went to the pub to have a game of pool. But there was no pool happening. And one of the people she was with walked into the pub and it assumed I'd been part of the big group and just said to me, "We're going to lunch, you coming?" And I just looked up and went, "Oh, why not?" I didn't know these people. I just went, "Okay, why not?" And then about half an hour later, there I was sitting at the table. This little head popped around and told me I should get the, the popcorn chicken? And then, so as I said,
nothing but the best for you.
That's right. It was good. It's quality. There's no KFC. And then all of a sudden, lunch was over, and I said, "That's it. I'm going out. I'm going to the after party. Anyone want to come?" No one, except for this one and a friend of ours, Chris, as well. So who's the person actually that grabbed me from the pub? So we thank her as well. So then we headed off, went to the after party. Amanda was meant to be going to flying off to Perth the next morning. I was staying at Grandma's. Mm. And 4 o'clock or whatever time the club closed, I think that was it. Had a bit of a pash outside.
That's right.
And then 2 weeks later, Chinna's had a... Was it 2 weeks?
What did you call her then?
Chinna's.
Chinna's. Oh. Yeah, yeah. I go by many names.
She had a jelly wrestling party, and that's pretty much what sold me.
I don't think I've... Hey, God. Jelly wrestling party? Are you serious?
Yes. Absolutely serious. That's right.
There's a lot of minds wandering at this point.
I was throwing a house party. I'm like, you know, I'll just send you a message and say... invite you along. You want to come to a jelly wrestling house party?
So Jess, at that stage, you touched on the fact that you came out when you were 16, 17 years old, comfortable, supportive family, which we can go into again a little bit more in a second. But I'm just wondering, did you have any idea or did you know that Amanda was out at that stage or not out?
No idea at all. Yeah. No idea at all. And we were kind of keeping it casual. She was meant to be moving overseas and I was meant to be sowing my wild oats. and then it just, I mean, and it came up, and I think Amanda was very nervous about telling me. Her parents didn't know at that time.
How long had you been seeing each other? I'm trying to get a bit of a timeline.
About 6 months.
So it was a long time.
Yeah.
Did you think it wouldn't work, or did you? What was the reason you were reticent about?
I think having met Jess made an impact. You know, felt kind of pretty real and pretty cool, and also surreal at certain points in time, and. With, you know, coming out to my parents, sort of, it was over a dinner, unexpected, boom, came out, shit hit the fan.
It's okay.
and so, you know, it was definitely...
your past experience with other people hadn't been so good when you said that your parents didn't know and you weren't...
Well, it's hard to really, I think, have a relationship when your parents and friends are. So did you reveal that part?
You had a, so was it a secret that you had to keep for a lot that long period of time? Yeah.
Yeah, it was kept under the radar for some part.
I hadn't met them or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So was there pressure on your part though, Jessie? You know, come on, Amanda, it's time. Anything like that?
But this is, you know, if that had been when I was 18, yes, I would have been like, are you ashamed of me? Why aren't you telling your parents? You know, all of that thing. But I think being a little bit older in my 30s, you know, I've been in relationships. I know things are tough. And I just said to Amanda, look, as long as it doesn't affect us, then I don't care if your parents don't know.
But now, were you
obviously
prepared?
it plays a role in
of
your
course.
Relationship, of course. What do you mean by prepared?
Prepared for what could have happened with her parents or family rejecting you. Had you thought along those sorts of lines? Because, Amanda, I'm gathering that your family is very they're devout, and their religion and their beliefs will dictate how they function in life. So had that been an issue that you...
Yeah, of course you think about those things, and of course the person you love, you want their family to love you too. I have a good relationship with Amanda's parents now. Now, it's not open. They still call me her friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different. But again, I think it's a maturity thing as well. You know, it's different. I see us as separate. Amanda and my relationship is not Amanda and her parents' relationship.
Yeah.
And my relationship with her parents is not our relationship either. Again, if we're talking when I'm younger, then it would have, you know, before I developed my own sense of self, I think, which takes a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, and that's so hard, especially for gay couples, especially if one partner, parents don't, you know, aren't okay with it. It puts pressure on the relationship. But if you can remember, guys, to just separate your relationship from every other judgment in the world, then, you know, hopefully you'll survive.
That's a really, really interesting mindset. Do you think we try and lump it all together and deal with it all in the same way when really your relationship with your family is going to be vastly different to the relationship you have with your significant other?
Yeah. And I think, look, again, it's about just, you know, if you love each other and you love your partner, then you've got to support them. Now, I can't understand what Amanda's going through most of the time because, you know, my family's great. I can't understand that, but I can be there for her, and I cannot then put my emotions on top of that, tell your parents this, do that.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
you
yeah.
Just don't. But that comes, I think, with you.
With age and maturity. Yeah. And Amanda, do you ever or have you ever felt jealous that you didn't have that sort of support from your family?
Oh,
in the same way as what Jessie has?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are times when you can't help feeling envious and wishing, I wish I had a family like that that was accepting and loving and just totally cool with it. So, yeah, and there are definitely moments, especially, I think it's such a beautiful thing when you see parents of you know, gay and lesbian kids just totally accepting. And I've seen that a lot, and sometimes it brings a tear to my eye because it's such a beautiful thing to see. Mm. I feel a bit sad that I don't have that, but that's just my reality. That's the cards that I've been dealt with, and I'm okay with that. And it's great also having a supportive partner in addition to really, you know, supportive close friends or, you know, your inner circle of friends who are always there. They're always going to have your back.
Yeah, you got to love your IC, hey?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You are with Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Hey, everyone. You are with Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. I'm joined by lovely Amanda and lovely Jessie. We're having a bit of a chat about what life's like with in a relationship. Do you call yourself like a mixed relationship or anything like that? You don't? Am I making a big deal out of it, do you reckon?
Yeah, we just call each other partner, girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering when you've, and we won't dwell any more on Amanda after this question, but I'm just wondering what that first reaction was, if you can remember. Did you tell just your parents or was it a whole big family gathering?
It was just my parents at dinner, and it just sort of slipped out and everything went AWOL. And I think it was definitely a very intense and emotional evening, and my parents are great people, loving people, but I think in the heat of the moment, the reaction was very much a ultimatum.
Wow.
So, you know, it's either this or that.
Gosh.
Pick one. Like I said, very, very, very intense evening, but it happened the way it happened. But you know, things were said, but, you know, that's what happens, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And, Jess, do you so have you sort of been that soft place to fall, I suppose, for Amanda?
Well, it happened sort of, you know, early on in our relationship. I think it was about 5 or 6 months in, wasn't it? So I think initially Amanda turned to her inner circle, her best friends, you know, that had known her. She also didn't want me to feel guilty about it, actually.
Wow, that's interesting.
Which was, I remember you saying, like she didn't want me to have the burden of it. And that's when I gave Chinnis the chat that that partners, that's what they do for each other. They're there for each other when this kind of stuff happens.
I'm more, you know, independent. I can take care of myself. Bring it on. I'm tough.
Strong, powerful woman.
You can throw anything at me. I'll be fine.
Yeah. So, look, but, you know, it was. I mean, that was hard as well because that was Amanda, you know, it had come out with the parents and then, you know, new relationship, relying on each other. But yeah, now I'm always there. We're always there. We always talk about stuff. In actual fact, as bad as it was for Amanda and as bad as it was for her and her parents, for us, it was a great point where we actually talked about everything that was really real to us. And yeah, that was a really big growing point in our relationship. So out of a very, I suppose, negative situation came something
positive. I agree. Out of bad comes good, always, even though you can't see it at the time. So, Jess, with your family, who I do know are very broad-minded and open and bring it on, we'll take everyone anywhere, anytime. They're very welcoming. So how did that feel, Amanda, for you, then knowing that you've been welcomed into this amazing family and a large extended family, I know?
Absolutely amazing. You can feel the warmth and the love and the acceptance
and craziness.
It's awesome kind of craziness. Just a great loving family. Absolutely. I feel quite fortunate and quite lucky, actually. I love your family.
Do you think, is it important to be liked, both of you, by both your families?
Yeah, of course, because it makes it easier on yourself, your family's relationships. You know, for Amanda, that's not a problem because everyone in the world loves Amanda. You know, me on the other hand. I think, isn't that important to everyone?
It is.
Some people not.
Some people don't admit it, though, you see.
Although some people maybe not, but I think for most of us it's important. And when it comes to family, I suppose it's particularly important.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how, because as we know, the time goes ridiculously quick. I'm just wondering whether, kind of in general senses, whether your sexuality has ever been an issue in your workplace or in, I think we've touched on your social group and family, of course, but in your workplaces, has it ever been any issue at all?
Personally, for me, no. I think the organisations that I work in are typically quite open. They are corporate organisations, but I feel fortunate being in a company that the culture is very friendly, open, supportive, transparent, and everyone seems pretty cool. It's not such a big deal. I think the key thing is when you have the people around you, especially your manager, being totally cool about it. It just helps.
I think the thing is, though, so I'm the same as well. I've worked in academia, lots of different universities, worked in community legal settings, all those kind of things. I've never had a problem either. I think the issue is, though, is it's always in your mind about when you're coming out, you know, or how you are. You don't want to make a big deal about it. There's still an issue, even though I've actually never, ever had a problem. I've had some very crude sexual remarks that people just think are funny, but they don't understand the
I have one today at work and flew off the handle. Yeah. I think it's in you. You hear these things, but you just touched on something then, and this was a line in a play called Ate the Play.
Yeah,
right? There was a line in that where one of the wives says she has to decide every day whether or not she comes out.
Yeah.
And that's true, and I'm assuming that that's probably the same all across the GLBTI community.
I mean, straight people don't show up at work at their first day and wonder, oh, when are they going to find out I'm a lesbian? Or, you know, I mean, sorry, straight. And that same way that you would go there and think, oh, when are they going to find out I'm a lesbian? And as I said,
it's privilege, isn't it?
It is. And look, I've never had a problem, but it's still in the back of your mind. Or when you're discussing your partner, you know, sort of straight away people go, partner, right, okay. And you get that look. So, but people are generally fine, which is the positive end of it. Again,
of course, I know.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't really impact your performance at all. Mm. You are who you are, and you're either good at it or...
You know, in saying that, I've got friends that have had issues and, you know, situations that haven't been that great, but...
Mm.
I think we're lucky to live in the day and age we do, and I think we're lucky to live in the city we live in as well. Mm. You know, Melbourne's
that's true
great.
As well. I mean, out in rural areas, in remote areas of Australia or any country for that matter, I dare say it's probably quite different. We have just got to go for a very quick break. You are with Michelle, Amanda, and Jesse on Stand Up Straight.
I'm Dean Arcuri, and when listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9, it's not about same-same. It's all about being different with Michelle on the mic.
Thank you, the lovely Dean Arcuri. You are with Michelle, Sam. She's not even in the studio. She got to mention Michelle, Amanda, and Jesse. My Sammy tonight is Josh. Sorry. We have had some shows previously where we've talked about apps and ways that people meet and that kind of thing. So one of the things I was thinking about today, and I know within the gay community, there's all these apps, which we don't name, but there's all these ways that guys get together and meet. Do you or have you ever used any of the female apps? You probably can't say that in front of each other now anyway. But were they even around, I think, when you were, before you were in relationships and so on?
Well, no, not specific apps. I mean, like, you know, there was sort of internet sites for making friends and all that kind of stuff, which is actually, for me, when I was down on the peninsula, a really important way, because it's not really exactly somewhere you go on the peninsula to a gay cafe or a gay pub. So I suppose that kind of thing can be really useful, especially for networking if you're in smaller communities. So that in that respect, I've definitely used that kind of applications, I suppose. But as for the apps, chinners.
Why are you looking at me?
Is there some personal experience, something I'm sensing?
No, I don't know.
I've brought something up in your relationship you probably haven't had to deal with before.
No. But I would say, if it wasn't for the pink sofa, that's where I met Tex and Kelly, our mate, who we became friends, so it wasn't a dating thing. Mm. If I hadn't met her through that, then I never would have met Amanda. So there you go.
Serendipity, we love that. And had you, even Amanda, for you in a sense, that where perhaps you might not have had much connection or interaction with the gay and lesbian community, was that ever something that you had tried or thought of or even, you know, as a way to connect with other lesbians even?
There was definitely a few meetup groups that, you know, you can tap into. And the great thing. But, sorry, pardon that.
Yay, we finally went dirty.
But I think the great thing about today is, you know, what we have today and access to technology and the internet is, you know, you can just, there are some great parties out there and definitely some, you know, great resources out there that can help you make new friends and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I think though there is a danger with it, this whole instant thing. I think there's a danger of culture, especially I've seen it with young guys. So both my brothers are both gay as well. And I've seen it, especially with the younger guys, a lot of pressure with this whole scene and this, it kind of, especially with the guys, it seems to be a lot of sex, let's face it.
Well, I've
and
actually...
And it's a lot of pressure for...
Yeah.
And that creates this culture, and I see how upset a lot of these younger guys are when what they actually really want is a relationship.
Mm.
And they get caught up in the culture, and they start fulfilling these sort of things they think are the expectations of them.
Mm.
And again, it's a maturity thing. So my older brother, he's fine, he's comfortable, he's got a great boyfriend now, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying that he went through a time when that was really hard. He felt like that was the culture he had to be in if he was a gay guy, and all that pressure, and it's taken him time to move through that. So the app thing, yeah, it helped him meet people, but I don't know whether he actually thought it was a good thing for his psyche.
I've had people say, no, I am not the expert in the room, but I've had people say that they've, similar to what you said about gay guys, but using the apps and things, but that with lesbians, it's one date and then the second date you're swapping house keys or something.
You bring
like
a fridge, isn't it?
Oh, what was that one?
Fridge
in the kitchen sink. Is that kind of true-ish, you know what I mean?
More so. Well,
hang on. I need to paint the picture. There's a gay man across my desk and he's the one shaking his head. Go on.
No. I mean, yes and no. It depends on the person. Okay? Yeah. I think it's going to depend. You know, some of my lesbian friends, yes, would be like that. They'll meet someone. They'll think they're settling down and getting married in 3 months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 1 month later. And then there's some that are just happy to have a good time every weekend. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's a whole variety out there. I think it's, again, generalisations, you know.
Very diverse.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, and it comes back to something I touched on before about straight privilege, that I could walk down the street holding my husband's hand, kiss, whatever, no one looks. Have you, firstly, you know, do you have your PDAs, do you not? Does it not on your radar? And have you ever had anyone that's kind of reacted if you have? Yeah, there's shaking.
Yeah, I think the reaction, I don't know about you, Amanda, but mostly what you get, not negative as such. Again, it's like this, you know, straight guys whistling at you and
tooting their horn
and getting excited because there's two lesbians holding hands. But I actually had a nice experience on the train ride on the way in, and I was sitting there and I was thinking about coming into the show and I was thinking about culture. Again, this is a plus for Melbourne as well. And there was like a middle-aged lesbian couple just sitting on the tram, holding hands, talking to each other, looking at each other lovingly, and I was, yep, dear, was tearing. And it was just lovely.
No
one was looking at them strangely or anything. I just thought, it's nice. We live in a great city most of the time. You
and
know?
Did you almost kind of a little bit sort of want to say, I'm one of you as well?
Oh, I just had that personal quiet moment. Yeah. And thought, I wish Amanda was here.
No, I agree. And I saw, I was in New York last year and saw two gay guys in beautiful dinner suits walking down the street holding hands. I've nudged Stephen and he's nudged me. And there was just that sense of warmth when you see that. And I don't know if people can understand why that's is so such a big deal. It's so important for us to see and not see a negative reaction from other people. I think it's really, really important. We are going to take another quick break, come back, say goodbye, wrap up, and get out of here. You're on Joy 94.9.
Stand up straight on Joy 94.9.
You are with Michelle, Amanda and Jesse. We're almost out of time. I told you guys it goes really, really quickly. Just a big shout out to Alan, who is my dad, and he's Jesse's kind of sort of granddad. And he's loving the show, has sent his love to both of us and says that he's really impressed by the obvious family links and he's enjoying listening to us. So thank you, Dad. Love you. Thank you for sending that message in. And girls, we're nearly out of time, as I said. If you've got words of advice, if there's some girls that maybe out there listening, parents even that might be listening and their kids have just come out or they're thinking about coming out, you got any words of advice?
For me, I think if you're thinking of coming out and you're a bit afraid that you might be judged or your closest family members may react badly, just make sure that you surround yourself with really good friends and also be patient because surprisingly, in my experience, my parents have come around quite a long way. Our journey has been quite amazing, actually, despite all the ups and downs.
But you say that with a smile, and that's a really nice. It's nice to see.
Absolutely, and I think if you find someone awesome, hold on to them.
Yeah, I'm going.
You're gonna.
I think. Lastly, just you know, if you're in a situation like we are, where one family isn't accepting, especially to those of you who are younger out there and maybe still finding yourselves, just make sure you support each other because at the end of the day, the other person's having a much harder time than you are when they're facing that challenge.
God love you, Jessie.
Thanks for having us, Mish.
It's my pleasure. So thank you, ladies, and thank you for talking about your personal stories. And I know at times it's not always been easy, Amanda, so I really appreciate your frankness and first time on radio, and you did a fabulous job. So thank you, girls. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
We've got coming up next the Spirit Lounge with Gorgeous Joy out there. She's got a gang that are going to burst the doors down in a minute. Just want to let you know that there's a massive, massive week next week. The AIDS 2014 conference is here in Melbourne. It is going to be absolutely astonishing. I will be broadcasting live and quaking in my boots at the Global Village. I've got Rebecca Matheson from the Straight Arrows, which is an HIV positive women's support group, and she's bringing on two ladies from two different countries. It is going to be spectacular. I'm really, really looking forward to that one. You have been listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Good night, everyone.
94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.